We are still about 3 months away from the 91st Academy Awards show, and it seems the road to the Oscars, well, it kind of keeps getting some more bricks put on it. There are big movies getting big buzz, but some smaller films could end up being the true winners on Oscar night in February. Boise Weekly movie critic George Prentice is joining me live in studio to explain all of this. Welcome to the show, George.
Hi, Gemma.
All right, so Oscars are Sunday, February 24th.
Yep.
But we could see some shakeups, even though nothing's been nominated yet.
Yeah, so let's walk through your calendar first.
Okay.
Okay, so the week after Thanksgiving, things begin to change. The Golden Globe nominations come out the first week of December.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now keep in mind that the Golden Globes, they double down. There will be five nominations for Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy, and then five more nominations for an actress in a drama.
Right, and they do that with movies, too.
Exactly. And then the Screen Actors Guild Awards come out a couple of weeks after that, the nominations. Those are nominated by actors, people in the industry. Keep in mind that Oscar nominations are only given out within that guild. Actors nominate actors.
Okay.
So pay attention to the Golden Globes. That's what the public...
Is that the foreign press?
It is, but okay. That's usually a reflection of public taste.
Mm.
You'll see a lot of love for Black Panther there. But then keep an eye on the Screen Actors Guild, and you'll see inside the Academy, if you will, the actors. If you want a nomination for an Oscar, you've got to be nominated for one, if not both, of those previous awards. If you want to win an Oscar... chances are you will if you win both of those awards, and your odds are really good if you win one of them.
Okay.
Okay?
Man, that's a lot of doubling down and gambling going on, right?
And then they hand out all those awards, everybody holds their breath, and then they hand out the Oscar nominations in mid-January.
All right.
Okay, so we need, for prologue, let's talk a little bit about A Star is Born, right? Because right now that train is heading full steam toward a Best Picture Oscar.
Right.
One note that it has exceeded all expectations. It has, as of this morning, made $180 million in North American receipts. Only two musicals in the history of Hollywood have made more money.
Really?
The live-action Beauty and the Beast made north of $500 million, and Grease made $188 million. A Star is Born is about to take second place all time.
Wow.
And they'll surpass Grease in the next couple of weeks.
But I have to tell you, George,
yeah.
I saw that on opening weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm talking a month later.
Yep.
Still, think about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Think about there was something so real, I think, about it.
Yeah.
And the music. I mean, all of that. But I don't know what it was, but it moves you.
It's a rare film that you'll see this much critical and audience acclaim, and you can literally count the Oscar nominations while you're watching this film. Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Song, Best Supporting Actor. I'm convinced that Sam Elliott will be nominated
right.
for an Oscar. And then screenplay and all that goes with it, et cetera. Now, I think that the only movie standing between A Star is Born and a slew of Oscars is a little film called Green Book.
And you talked about this
yeah.
when you came back from the Toronto Film Festival.
I did. I think that this is my favorite movie of the year, quite frankly. This is it. It is, first of all, a little history. Once upon a time in America, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, there was something called the Green Book for the Negro Motorists. It was written by a man by the name of Victor Hugo Green. And it was a tourist guide for African-Americans on where you could stay, hotels, restaurants, mm-hmm. et cetera. More importantly, it was a survival guide because it told you where you could not stay, particularly in the Deep South. Green Book tells the true story of a world-class jazz pianist by the name of Dr. Don Shirley, played by Mahershala Ali. And he hires pretty much a thug to be his driver, played by Viggo Mortensen. As a matter of fact, everyone calls him Tony the Lip.
Oh, well, there you go.
So it's kind of a reverse Driving Miss Daisy. Sprinkle in a little bit of Hidden Figures, some Dream Girls in there, every good road movie that you've seen, and audiences are embracing this film. This won the Audience Award at Toronto, the only award that the Toronto Film Festival gives out. Critics are like, oh, well, it's just a feel-good movie. Well, yeah, it's a feel-good movie.
Right.
I think people are really going to embrace this. So let's listen to a scene from Green Book. Here you're going to hear Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali. And again, this is Tony the Lip is writing letters back home to his wife. but he has the skills of a second grader.
Mm.
I had a good hamburger today. We are driving down a good road today. And Dr. Shirley is like, throw that away. And he tries to be his, if you will, Cyrano de Bergerac. He says, write this down. Let's take a listen.
Dear Dolores, D-E-A-R, this is an animal. As I'm writing this letter, I'm eating potato chips, and I'm starting to get thirsty. And you know this is pathetic, right? Tell me what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I miss her.
Then say that. But do it in a manner that no one else has ever done it before. Something like, put this down. Falling in love with you was the easiest thing I've ever done.
Nothing matters to me but you. And every day I'm alive, I'm aware of this. I loved you the day I met you. I love you today. And I will love you the rest of my life. So can I put P.S. Kiss the Kids?
That's like clinging a cowbell at the end of Shostakovich's the Seventh.
That's good.
It's perfect, Tony.
It's a really funny movie. It takes some very serious topics about a divided America mm-hmm. in 1962, but indeed we're still divided. Here's the difference in this movie. It never wags a finger at you. It's never preaching to you. It's a very personal story. I think that's why audiences are accepting this. I had a chance to talk to Viggo Mortensen
yeah.
the morning after the big premiere in Toronto. And he said, you know what? Who cares if it's a feel-good movie? Who cares if the, you know, enthusiasts, as he uses with air quotes, say it's a feel-good movie? He embraces it.
It's open. You walk in. I mean, when you finish reading the script, and especially you finish watching the movie, and I could see it on people's faces last night, you feel good. You feel good about people. You feel good about the possibility of getting along. I mean, that's wonderful. And I guess if you're a very highbrow movie enthusiast, you might go, well, you know, it's a feel-good movie. And so what? What's wrong with that?
And what is wrong
What's
with that,
wrong
right?
With that?
Why
right.
can't you? I mean,
yeah.
I got to spend a lot of money to go to the movies. Yep. I'd actually like to sometimes come out of it feeling good.
People are really going to embrace this film. It's a perfect film for the holidays. I'm a sucker for any movie that ends on Christmas morning with a family, et cetera. And this
yeah.
movie does. So I have to embrace that. It's a great holiday film. I think it's a film to take not really young kids, but middle school kids, high school kids. It's a true story. It's a historic moment in our nation's history. It's extremely entertaining. I think it checks a lot of boxes. Here's a fun fact. Viggo
yeah.
Mortensen
mm-hmm.
spends a fair amount of his year in Idaho.
He does?
He has owned a home in northern Idaho in Bonner County for about 20 years now. And so when I'm waving my arms, Mr. Mortensen, George Prentice from Boise, Idaho, you bet I got
you
that.
You know you did, right?
Yeah. So look for Green Book. It opens the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay. And do you think it really, I mean, I think I am just like, seriously, my husband wants me to stop talking about A Star Is Born at my
yeah.
house. But I was so moved by it. I mean, do you really think that, I mean, this could overtake
it? I think it,
it
could because, quite frankly, men really like this movie.
Oh, yeah. My husband would not go see A Star Is Born.
Yeah. So I think that that's a key. I think the fact that it's PG-13
mm-hmm.
helps. And it's it tells you something you don't know.
I had never known that.
Isn't that a great experience?
Right.
It's a very American story. It happens to come at a pivotal time in our nation, and I think it reflects so well.
When it comes to what movies to see this holiday season, apparently there is Something About Mary. Boise Weekly movie critic George Prentice is back with us to talk about all things Mary this holiday season.
Indeed, and that's M-A-R-Y.
Correct.
And there's a couple of them I need to bring to your attention. And one of them is an old friend, and she flies into town being London,
mm-hmm.
just in time. Of course, we're talking about Mary Poppins Returns. Now, I think I've told you this in the past. On occasion, I've been shown films where I have to sign an affidavit that acknowledges an embargo,
mm-hmm.
Which means I cannot write a review of the film until a certain point or openly talk about it.
Or say the name of it? Or...
Oh, no, I can say the name. And
okay.
So I'm going to bend a few rules here.
All right.
And I'm going to need your help, though.
Okay, I can do that.
So here's my reaction.
He's so excited.
Okay. Now, you said that.
I did.
Okay. So here's the deal. It's Mary Poppins Returns. It's Emily Blunt. Now, Emily Blunt, earlier this year in A Quiet Place, did you see that film?
I haven't. I need to. But
she
I have heard she was
magnificent
amazing.
Magnificent in that. And she bookends that with being Mary Poppins. And who else is going to be Mary Poppins than Julie Andrews? But Julie Andrews says, you bet, Emily Blunt's the lady.
Wow, that's a high compliment.
So this film opens where Mary Poppins, the original, ended back in 1964 with a big kite. And remember, everyone went to fly a kite.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so it's not a remake.
No. This is the author of Mary Poppins wrote, I think, 7 or 8 Mary Poppins books. This is originally sourced by the author of Mary Poppins. This story was never made into a film. It's not some Hollywood concoction. This is true to the character, true to the character of the Banks family. Well, the Banks kids have grown up, but Mary hasn't, as you would hope. And one day, a little boy is out flying a kite, and as he tells his parents, I was flying a kite, and it caught on a nanny. As opposed to caught on a tree. Let's take a listen.
If I live and breathe.
I was flying a kite and I got caught on a nanny.
Mary.
Poppins, you came back.
You seem hardly to have aged at all.
Really? One never discusses a woman's age, Michael. Would have hoped I taught you better.
And, of course, she hasn't aged.
Wow.
The Banks children have grown up, and they have children of their own. And as Mary Poppins says, I've come back for the children. And the little ones say, oh, for us? Oh, no, actually, them. And, of course, them are these 40-something
adult children,
et cetera. The film also includes Colin Firth, Meryl Streep, Angela Lansbury, Dick Van Dyke, and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, wow.
Who it turns out that his character was a homeless boy who lived outside the Banks house. And so he remembers the Banks children. But he has now grown up to be a street sweeper, much like Bert the chimney sweep. So his connection to Mary Poppins is tangible. And, of course, Mary Poppins hasn't aged at all. And she comes in and tries to solve everything with song, dance, and
a spoonful of sugar.
Lots of penguins and animation. And you see Dick Van Dyke dancing up a storm again.
Wow.
I think he's in his 90s.
I think so.
Yeah. It's a joy. It opens the week before Christmas. It answers all of a hungry family's appetite for, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with the family and what can we take? All ages. People are going to love it. Keep in mind that Julie Andrews won the Best Actress Oscar for Mary Poppins. A lot of people do not associate a Disney movie with the Oscars. That was a big moment at the Oscars for Walt Disney. So, and Emily Blunt, she could get a nomination. I fully expect her to get a Golden Globe nomination.
And because this is opening before the end of the year, it's eligible for all of those awards season.
It's going to occupy a lot of space. The Mouse House is not to be underestimated. They own ABC. You're going to see it probably on every ABC broadcast. You're going to be hearing about this incessantly. It turns out that the movie delivers. I think I can say that safely.
It sounds like, I would say that it sounds like it's worth seeing.
There you go.
All right. So there's another Mary, Mary Queen of Scots.
Absolutely. For those who like a really good costume drama every Christmas, this is the true story of Mary Queen of Scots versus Elizabeth, the conflict for the throne. And it is Saoirse Ronan as Mary Queen of Scots and Margot Robbie as Queen Elizabeth and their fight for the crown. It's a true story. It's a lot of intrigue, palace drama. I think the audiences are pretty, they gobble this stuff up. Mm-hmm. Goodness knows The Crown is incredibly popular on Netflix. Let's take a listen.
You would do well to watch your words.
I will not be scolded by my inferior.
Your inferior.
If you murder me, you murder your sister. And you murder your queen.
How did it come to this?
This is a remake. In the 1960s, Vanessa Redgrave and Glenda Jackson made Mary Queen of Scots, and they both got Oscar nominations for that film. This is a very big budget costume drama. It will open on Christmas Day.
So the perfect movie to go see.
I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about some really good we might call popcorn movies.
Okay.
Fun movies.
Absolutely.
Aquaman.
Let's talk about that. Oh, yes. Aquaman's coming out.
Absolutely.
Right.
I think the DC Universe could use a hit other than Wonder Woman. They haven't had much luck, but I think that expectations are pretty high for Aquaman, and visually it looks really stunning. Rocky returns.
That's right.
In Creed,
with Creed 2,
which was a critical and box office success. And, of course, Sylvester Stallone returns, as does the son of Apollo Creed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people are going to be looking for that on Christmas Day. Here's the real wild card. It's a movie called Vice. Have you heard of this one?
No.
Adam McKay, Will Ferrell's writing partner, who also wrote and directed The Big Short a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Has an all-star film coming out on Dick Cheney, and it's Christian Bale as Dick Cheney, Sam Rockwell as George W. Bush. Let's listen.
What do you say? I want you to be my VP. I want you. You're my vice.
Well, George, I'm the CEO of a large company. I've been Secretary of Defense, and I have been White House Chief of Staff. The Vice Presidency is a mostly symbolic job. However, if we came to a different understanding, I can handle the more mundane jobs, overseeing bureaucracy, military, energy, and foreign policy.
Yeah, right. I like that.
Yeah, we know where that's going. Amy Adams plays Lynn Cheney. It's going to be a provocative film, no doubt. Christian Bale as Dick Cheney.
I can't even picture that.
I think he gained something like 40 pounds for this film.
Oh, my God.
He's almost unrecognizable, but it looks like a lot of fun.
So when does, and that comes out Christmas?
Christmas.
So we've got some good Christmas films coming up.
Yeah.
And then Golden Globe nominations the first week of December.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, here we come.
Here we come.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have you back on the day of the Golden Globe nomination so you can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun to have you on the show, George. Thanks so much. Boise Weekly movie critic George Prentice.